When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
06-7 the fan. Excited to get on the phone lines here to our friend Mr. Ike Reese up in Philadelphia. You can give him a follow at Ike58Reese. You can hear him afternoons on WIP. Big game, Ike. What's going on, man?
JP, Lemonhead. What's up, big bro? What's going
on? All right. All right, Chocolate Thunder. What's up, brother, man?
Ain't nothing going on, man.
I'm good. What is actually going on in that damn locker room? Because we got one guy saying something, everybody else acting like, oh, he got to be crazy.
Oh, last week, I'm assuming, right? I'm assuming they've hashed out whatever it was that was going on, right? You heard one message from AJ and Jalen saying that they were good and they talked things out. But prior to that, we obviously everybody heard and saw BG's comments on his radio show he does Monday night with us down at Chiggy and Pete's. And so, listen, I'm inclined to believe Brandon Graham. I don't think somebody comes out and speaks from the heart the way he did with the detail that he spoke with, and he just made up something. So yeah. That's not to say that they weren't, after that, able to hash out whatever the issues were and move forward, but to act as if this somehow was all media created and all made up and everybody is great with each other. Yeah, we've been around the game long enough, B. Mitch and JP, to know that that's not the case. But I'll give them credit for solving those issues behind closed doors once it did go public. And it seemed like they were all out there on the same page Sunday. So winning cures all, and a few catches and a touchdown, that certainly helps the cause as well. So everybody's feeling good right now, I'm assuming, down there.
Totally, man. It's just wild to me because, like, they've won 10 in a row. They look like the best team in football, and yet it seems like there's at least
trouble in paradise.
Some level of some dysfunction. Yeah. Does it seem like that to you, or are we making too much out of it, maybe from the outside?
So here's my read on the situation. We watched these guys prior to last Sunday's game. They had went on a 9-game winning streak, and they had forged this identity for the team since the bye week that they were sort of a run-first, run-based, defensive-oriented football team. Not that they weren't going to throw the ball. They just didn't lean as heavily on the passing game as they had earlier in the year. And, you know, Brian can tell you, you know, when you got these many weapons on the offensive side of the ball, it can become a difficult task for a coordinator and a quarterback to try to keep all these guys happy to keep everybody fed. So my take on it is I don't think it was as bad as it sort of blew up to, but the fact that the passing game wasn't necessarily clicking as it should be clicking, not saying that they wanted to be a passing offense, but here's the thing. When there's opportunities to make plays in the passing game with those limited chances they get, those wide receivers with their level of talent, they want those opportunities. They want a chance to catch the football. If I'm AJ Brown, I want to catch the damn football. If I'm Devontae Smith, I want to catch the football, not at the expense of winning, not at the expense of having a stagnant offense. They understand that Saquon was going to get his touches, but I believe their sort of outlook on the passing game, when A.J. said passing as sort of something that they needed to fix or get corrected with the offense, he was pretty much implying that there's opportunities in the passing game that we could connect, and it may actually make the games a little easier for us. Because now, yeah, remember, this was coming off the Carolina Panthers game where they were double-digit favorites, and that was a one-possession game. I think we only won about 6 or 7 points in that game. And so when you don't win in dominant fashion, you know how we are here. We're going to ask about areas that you can improve upon. And A.J. was, I give him credit, he was blunt and straight to the point. We had all been discussing it on the outside of the building. He said the passing needs to be better. And I don't think that blew up everything. I think DG's comments the next night sort of it validated what everybody was speculating at that time. And that's how it sort of snowballed into what it snowballed into, because there were people that were saying, oh, my God, is there something going on? Is A.J. not happy? You know, Jalen needs to be better in the passing game. And, you know, I'm on this side of things now. I've been here for 17 years now. You put any blood in the water, we're sharks. We're coming for it.
Like,
you give the media anything, and we're coming for it. So, and that's what that was last week. So my advice would be choose your words a little more carefully. and that way you'll keep us on the outside, not in the family business, and you guys can get things corrected behind closed doors.
Well, one more thing then. Defensive line coach and Sirianni on the sideline. Yeah. I figured that the fact that Dom didn't get in between them, it was just an emotional conversation and not necessarily no beef.
Right, right. I forgot about that.
Oh, we researching, brother. We try to get all the blood in the water, brother.
It's all good. I think that was Jalen Carter. I think had gotten a dead ball penalty or something, and after that play, because I think he had hit Connor Hayward upside the head. So they called a flag on that play. Now it was. I was surprised that didn't give the Pittsburgh Steelers a first down, because it happened during the play. It was on a punt, and a punt safe team was out there. They called it a dead ball foul. So when the Eagles got the ball, what really happened is they got penalized, I think, half the distance to the goal line versus Pittsburgh getting an automatic first down. I think Coach Sirianni was upset of what Jalen had did and was, I guess, going to let him know about it. But the D-line coach, at that point, what I'm gathering is he's pretty much saying, I already got on him, coach. You don't have to worry about it. Like, Jalen Carter, you know, he's one of those personalities, man, that you would love to play with him, but you got to coach him up a little bit differently. And sometimes he can be overly aggressive. And that's one of those moments where I think the D-line coach, Coach Hurt, was pretty much letting Coach Sirianni know that, I got it already, coach.
Don't go over there.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, like, it's just going to make matters worse. Like, it's going to make matters worse. Let me deal with it. And see, you saw Big Dom just slide right there in the back, like, just in case something happened. But I think that's more or less emotions on the sideline. And that's where Coach Sirianni has done a good job this year, for the most part, is keeping control of his emotions. Because when he gets ticked off, sometimes he doesn't know how to pull back. And that's even with – and with his players or coaches, that's what it's been in the past. So they're trying to make sure they keep all that type of stuff to a minimum on the sideline, so it doesn't become some sort of distraction or it creates a bigger issue. And to Coach Sirianni's credit, I think he in the moment realized, okay, this could be an issue here. Let me pull back a little bit, walk away, and they addressed it after the game. So I think all that is okay too right now. We got a lot going on right now up here, man.
Yeah, it's busy, man. talking with our friend Ike Reese. You can hear him on WIP every afternoon in Philadelphia from 2 to 6 at Ike58Reese if you want to give him a follow. Ike was drafted by the Eagles in the 5th round, 98 draft, played for 7 years in Philly. great career, great Eagle. So, Ike, what's crazy about the Eagles is we keep hearing the stuff, kind of the weird stuff that has kind of permeated throughout the Sirianni era. But, dude, they are loaded. I mean, the fact that they've been able to rebuild that front seven and how well they're playing now, you know, as a guy that played in the front seven, what do you make of that group and just how good they are?
I mean, Coach Fangio, I mean, I don't know if they give out assistant coaches awards of the year. I don't even know. If they do, he should certainly be a top candidate for a coach of the year from an assistant coach standpoint. As a defensive coordinator, he's come in with these young players with a little bit of a mixture of a couple guys that have been here the previous year or two, and he has far exceeded anybody's expectations of what we expected from his defense. We just wanted a serviceable defense, a defense that wasn't ranked last in the league like last year's defense was. So we would have been happy with a top 15 defense around here. For them to be as playing as well as they played this year, and not only that, there were question marks about some of the players, young players like a Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. Like, these guys hadn't necessarily started to realize their potential in their first few years, and it seems like Coach Fangio has done a great job of getting the best out of all these guys. He's putting them all in the proper position. Zach Bond was a guy who was viewed as a third down special teams type of guy his first few years in the league, and he's playing stack backer, which he had never done before, and Coach Fangio has turned him into a potential all-pro player this year with the way that he's played this year. And we talked about Jalen Carter. They got him in the right position. The young secondary that we have with Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, you know, they got Darius Slay, who I believe has had a bounce-back year compared to what he had last year. We got Reed Blankenship in the secondary. So all of these guys who didn't really have an identity as a unit 2 months ago, man, since that bye week, because I got to tell you, it didn't start at the beginning of the season. It was after the bye week. After week four, they somehow figured something out. And, man, they've just taken off as a unit. It is a very impressive unit. Tied for first and the fewest amount of points given up. They give up the fewest amount of yards. And they do a lot of it without blitzing. They don't blitz a whole lot. A lot of it is we're going to rush you with our front four, and we're going to play solid defense with our back seven, and we're going to try to keep the ball from getting thrown over our head, and your quarterback is going to make a mistake eventually. And that's how they play defense, and it's been awesome to watch this year. They tackle so much better. Let me throw this in there real quick. They changed their practice habits and their philosophy after that bye week as well. It was all about being physical and having a physical presence. They've gone to wearing pads once a week. They've been doing that over the 10-game winning streak. I think it's changed the mentality in the locker room and of the players that they just play a more physical brand of football now. And I think a lot of it starts with it's how they practice throughout the week. So it's been a pleasure to watch around here this year.
I'm just going to post this. Ike Reese said the NFL need to go back to tackling. No.
Hey, T, I'm telling you now, listen.
It does something for you, though. But seriously, like, in the first game, Washington had opportunity after opportunity early on, and they didn't capitalize on them. What is it that you think the Eagles are concerned about? If Washington gets some things corrected, it could be a problem.
Oh, man, I would say your running game. I mean, listen, a lot of what Washington does is, you know, Jaden Daniels is going to make his plays through the air with Terry McLaurin when the opportunities present itself. But for the most part, you guys get Robinson going, Jaden Daniels running the football. I think we got to be able to put Washington in a situation where they're out of their comfort zone. I don't know how much they want to throw the ball, right? If we can find a way to get you in that second and long, third and long, instead of second and four and third and two, then that puts a lot more pressure on the passing game, and then maybe you can get after that offense that way. For me, the quarterback is always going to be the X factor because he can beat you with his arm and he can beat you with his legs. So I would say from a defensive standpoint, we got to figure out how not to let Jaden Daniels control the game through the air and on the ground. And from an offensive standpoint, I just think they got to do what they do best. They run the football. They run the football well. If Washington stacks the box, so they don't want to let Saquon run, then the passing game has to get clicking. That's the one positive after last week's game, is that Pittsburgh loaded up on the run game last week, and Jalen had his best day as a passer last Sunday. When you just look at the throws that he made, the how quick he got the ball out of his hands, and those things. So I would say the Eagles are a very complete team right now, and it's going to be difficult for any team to sort of hone in on a weakness versus this Eagles team.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are just loaded all over the place. And, you know, I talked to Chris Sims from NBC this morning, and he was saying what the Eagles are doing from an offensive, like, concept space isn't all that advanced. They run
right.
a lot of the same stuff over and over, and just nobody can stop it. Is that consistent with kind of what you've seen, Ike?
It really is. It truly is. It's not very complicated. I feel like, you know, they have a talent level on that side of the football that they don't have to be very complicated with what they're doing. Sometimes you can just line up and see if your guy can beat my guy. And they got the best. I think we got the best offensive line in football. They are so massive.
Hard to argue with.
They are so massive when you look at the size of them paws all across the line. I had to throw that in there. Come on, man. I had to throw that in there. Lucky I didn't say no Diddy. I'm just saying. When you look at the size of those guys up front, they're pretty big.
For sure, man. And even in the passing game, obviously the strength of that O-line stands out. But even in the passing game, they're like, all right, you got to cover A.J. and Devontae and our running attack, and the quarterback can run. So we're just gonna come out here and good luck stopping it. It's that Eagles team is a well-oiled machine, man. I don't know exactly what the are there any holes on special teams? I know Elliott has been missing way more kicks than normal, right?
Well, I would say yeah. That's I don't want to jinx him, but he had a good week last week. It's been like two, maybe three games where everybody, what is going on with Jake Elliott? It's very uncommon for Jake. He's been pretty much a sure kicker his whole career that he's been here, and maybe it's just one of those weird years where the ball just it sails to the left or to the right on him. But yeah, he's hopefully he's gotten that fixed. But yeah, it's not a whole lot to poke at with the Eagles. But I'd say the biggest thing I noticed with this team is that they make adjustments. We get off to slow starts. I don't know if there's been a game where they've gotten off to a fast start. They usually get off to a slow start. I know for a large portion of the season, they had the fewest points scored in the first quarter of any team all year long. So sometimes they come out and they're not clicking on all cylinders. It takes them a little while to see what the opposing team is doing. But by the time they get to that second quarter, they've made adjustments both offensively and defensively that they just look like a different team. They look like a different team. And once they do figure it out to where they can get off to faster starts, man, it could be scary for a lot of teams they face.
Well, you can wait another week before that happen. Let's try to figure that out next week. I mean, you're already in a good spot. You don't need this week.
You guys don't need. Listen, we're both going to get in. We're both getting in. So we'll both get in the playoffs. But we're looking at the one seed. We got a few things. We're trying to get a bye week. So we definitely need this game this week.
Hey, Ike, just real quick, because I love the passion of Philly fans. Non-Eagles related. I'll add that caveat.
okay.
How they feeling about them Sixers right now?
Oh, come on, man. That's not fair.
I'm being serious.
We got the Wizards, so don't worry about it.
Are they kind of just ignoring it and focusing on the Eagles,
That's exactly what we're doing. After last Friday, Joel, I think he fractured his sinus. I never even heard of that before.
He fractured his sinus.
You know, I thought it was a broken nose, but it's not. It's like, he fractured his sinus. So, I didn't know, there's no telling how long he's going to be out. And then our outstanding rookie, we found out the next day, but it happened in that same game, he tore his, I think he tore his meniscus or his MCL. He's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. So, yeah, it's it's not good. And Paul George, we're just happy when he finishes the game right now. Like, as long as nobody else gets injured, man, it's not good right now. But, hey, that's why we're not paying attention until after the Eagles season. After the Eagles season, then we're back in.
Yeah, and, I mean, I'll be honest, man, the way Philly's playing, you could have a lot more season left. Ike, yeah. I know you got your show to get ready for. Thank you for your time, as always.
Tell the wife, I say happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it, JP. Y'all take care. Hey, Merry Christmas to us.
You too, Merry Christmas, bud. That is Ike Reese. You can hear him every afternoon in Philadelphia on WIP 94 WIP from 2 to 6. You follow him at Ike58Reese. You know what else you should do? Go check out Orsman Automotive of Virginia. They got 7 locations all over Northern Virginia, from Alexandria to Chantilly. I have bought 4 vehicles from them. I've had 3 Toyotas, and I bought a GMC from Biagi at Orsman GMC Chevy over in Alexandria. I keep going back because they take great care of me. The service is top-notch. My guy Jaime from the Orsman Fairfax Toyota store just texted me. He's listening to the show right now. Shout out to Jaime. We work with them by choice.
Jaime, you better get back to work.
It's a great company. And B, how many Kias you bought from Billy?
Oh, man, at least 10. At least 10 Kias I've gotten from them. But when you go, you take your car in for service, they take care of you, man. They give you extras when you go to for a scheduled maintenance, get some a complimentary car wash. When you go in for a major maintenance, they give you a loaner car. They take care of you. And like a lot of these businesses try to charge you for those loaner cars now, they don't do that. And if you try to sell a car over there, they give you 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value, regardless of its make, model, or year. You know, everybody else, they want to try to drop it down a little bit. They're trying to take as much as they can, charge you as much. Orsman does not do that. It's simple at Orsman. They like to keep their customers happy, just like JP and I, to beyond satisfied Orsman customers.
Damn right.
And let's ride together.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The practice field here, my computer's acting up. I can't get my text. But some news from the practice field here that I think is a pretty big surprise. Guess who was out there? Non-contact jersey, but guess who was out there?
Who? J.A.?
John Allen was out there, but that's going to happen. They just told us they opened his window. Chin,
okay.
Bro, I looked these numbers up last night. The last five games, you have to go all the way back to the Bears game, where Jeremy Chinn played 97% of the snaps, basically came out for a snap. He's played every single snap over the last 5 weeks until he came out in that New Orleans game.
Hey.
I mean, that's a guy that is clearly important, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And I did not think he was coming back.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing about concussions, they're so – people don't – doctors don't even know a lot. One guy can get hit very hard and be back next week. Another guy can get hit very softly, or you don't think it's a big hit, and he may take him 2-3 weeks to get back.
Sure.
So you never know.
Never know. It's – I don't know. I think you'd love to have him because he's a pretty sure tackler. And helps you against Saquon. I mean, dude, against this Philly team, you want to have everybody.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, like, this team is so loaded. And without them, I don't know. You want your team healthy. But now, all of a sudden, you're playing a team that's won 10 in a row and might be the best team in football.
Yeah. They're doing a great
job.
That
beat you 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So you need everybody – if you get Chin, that'd be pretty damn impressive. I don't know. Just being there today doesn't necessarily.
Normally when they are in the protocol, they are not in practice when they don't have a chance.
Right.
When they have a chance, they're normally out there moving around. I realize that was Sunday. And if he's already moving closer, that's good news. Not necessarily definite news, but good news.
You know what? I'm going to credit our friend Juan Romero, El Poderoso, El Poderosito. We all used to work together. He does a Spanish language call for Commanders games with our boy Moises. I'm also going to credit Jeff Walker for getting this on my radar. Romero tweeted out, "Chalking up the Philly game as an automatic loss is such a lame bit by Commanders Nation. Old regime stuff. Stop talking about a game 10 days away and let's beat these birds." Jeff replied, "Yeah, what the bleep are they talking about? Let's shock the world." Jeffrey, take me into the mind of the Commander's deep state of the weird social media things that happen. What's going on? Everybody's focused on Atlanta?
Yes, so in the weird depths of social media, there are a lot of fans that's like, "Oh, we're going to lose to Philly this weekend. We're looking forward to Penix playing Jaden and Jaden winning." I'm like, dude. What if we shock the world, beat Philly, and we don't even have to worry about the Falcons game if they lose this week and we win? Like, what is there to talk about?
See, I think like you, Jeff. That's my mindset most of the time. So, I
don't even think it'd be that big of a shock. Teams don't usually win 11 in a row.
We still have the confidence that we have for the last 20-something years.
Agreed.
And I understand it's hard to get past it, but when you want things to change around you, the best thing you could do is change yourself.
And when I mean shock the world, JP, it's clear we are the underdogs going into this game. It's clear Philly is at the lead in our division. A lot of people will be shocked if the Commanders pull out the win, especially if we beat them by a touchdown or two.
Shock the world to me, the Giants were 16.5-point underdogs at home last week to Baltimore. That's a shock the world. If Washington wins this thing at home, they're 3.5-point underdogs. It's not –
JP.
I agree with you, Jeff, that folks are
– it will be shock the world.
Should not be focusing on Atlanta.
But
this is a winnable
two,
game.
They're 12-2. If we beat them, many people are going to be shocked as hell. I mean, if the game's over and we win, everybody's going to say they expected it. But they're not saying it right now.
And three sound like a small number, JP, but let's be real. If you go out and do 100 people survey on the streets of D.C. and be like, "Yo, who do you got winning?" It don't even have to be Commanders or Eagles fans. If you ask, "Who do you have winning this week?" Majority will say the Eagles.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm just saying shock. This doesn't qualify as a shock the world to me. It'd be a surprise. But we're arguing over like syntax when I agree with your overwhelming sentiment, which is, Commanders fans, focus on the game at hand and don't just be sweating Atlanta. I agree with that. Like, NFL teams typically don't win 11 in a row. Philly just had a really big game for them. They played really well, and like this to me seems like a real letdown spot, man. Now, Problem is, Philly's freaking loaded. So maybe they won't have a letdown.
Think about what you're saying right now. Team like a letdown spot. We'll beat them if they don't play well. Beat them when they're playing well. That's the mindset I have.
Sure. I don't disagree with that.
I mean, it's just like, it's just the way things are said most times. That sometimes, you know, you can watch me over here. We have callers or whatever, and I just like, I roll my eyes because I'm like, what the hell are we really thinking? I want the team to be a certain way, but we are never that way. We don't want to be Philly. Philly is skeptical on every damn thing.
Yeah, I don't think people should be focused on the wrong stuff. And looking ahead to Atlanta, to me, is the wrong stuff. Now, we talked about Atlanta to open the show, though, because the Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix stuff is a huge story.
I mean,
we're a football show, and we're damn sure going to talk about Cousins getting benched. And it is cool that we'll get to see Jaden versus Penix in 2 weeks, assuming we get there and that's how it shakes out. But, you know, I don't think you need to be focused specifically on.
Nah, if you're looking past the Eagles game, that's loser mentality right there. Totally.
Landini, I just got my text working. You tell me what you think there. I understand, to Jeff's point, that they are underdogs in this game and that Philly is loaded, but I don't – dude, they played them pretty tight for 52 minutes 6 weeks ago. I do think Philly's better now than they were then, and I'm not sure Washington is. That's why they play the game so, man. That's why Sunday is going to be cold, and you never know what's going to happen in a football
game. It's going to be cold as hell.
Yeah, Sunday.
Which is an oxymoron, but you know. But it's going to be cold.
You hate that oxymoron. You've mentioned that before.
Yeah, but I had to say it.
We might have to get camera for this game because this doesn't look like it's getting above freezing all day. My phone says low of 20, high of 31.
I mean, I'm going to wear that old work jacket this week.
This is my first hat and gloves situation, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to definitely need some earmuffs.
I'll just wear a hat. Thank you. Well, dude, that Atlanta game, do we have a weather report? 1229 weather in D.C.
I don't even think that you should worry about the weather.
Well, I'm personally worried about it because I'm going to be standing out there until 1 in the morning.
You're a survivor, JP. You're strong, man.
Thanks, Jeff. J-Dog's forever, buddy. One other thing I wanted to address because I'm seeing this. Deb asked this earlier in the chat, and I had somebody tweet this at me, and I feel like Jeff might be behind this. I think young folks just don't know enough about certain topics. That's what I'm going to assume here.
Uh-huh.
One concern people have for a return to RFK is that they won't be able to tailgate. If you went to games at RFK, people were tailgating everywhere.
All the time. I don't understand that.
Every I didn't have lot, nothing they to do with that.
They were tailgating.
They have parking lots.
But right now, you got to realize, over there by the fields at RFK, there are parking lots galore. There's parking lots right there next to the,
Armory?
The Armory right there.
Some of that's been developed.
They're going to build, if you build a new stadium, it's going to come with some stadium stuff, different parking lots and all that. You're moving stuff out towards the water as well. You will have area to
Nats games. We used to tailgate Nats games on the river because it was summertime. The weather was beautiful. Now I think this. I think I know.
I don't know who never thought that they had tailgating. Now, I saw people tailgating when I walked in, and I joined them when I came out.
People were tailgating at RFK. I promise you. Now one thing that did happen, and I know this upset some DC United fans. When DC United left RFK Stadium to go to Audi Field, DC United had a super strong tailgate culture. And anybody that's been to Audi Field knows there's nowhere to park over there.
No.
Period.
No.
So that transition happened, and Nats Park isn't really like a tailgating scene. But you know what else I think will happen organically when RFK happens? Like, you go to Buffalo, that little stadium is like in a neighborhood. You go to Lambeau. RFK's a neighborhood. There's just houses all around there. Those houses aren't going anywhere, man. People just start charging you to park in their driveway and on their grass, and they tailgate. And then you tailgate with them.
Yes.
It's cool, dude. Like, there will be
– Don't worry.
Yeah.
Hell, I got a big old grill at my house. I might start rolling on up to the stadium. I'll have a tailgate for you.
Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley. All right, folks, caller number 10 right now. You win two tickets to the Wiz Saturday, December 28th against New York for the official Wizard schedule and tickets. Visit thefandc.com. So that's what, next Saturday? There you go. Go see the Wiz against the Knicks. That's a fun game. But I think you might like this, especially after our last conversation with people looking too far ahead. Tony Perkins, friend of yours, friend of mine. Tony Perkins tweeted out this morning, "I know you're going to call me crazy. The Eagles are great this year, a top three NFL team, but for some reason, I feel like the Commanders are going to beat them on Sunday."
That's what I'm talking about, Tony. Come on, man. Got to have some damn confidence, man. We can't be fans all the time and always be scared. Think the damn sky is falling.
Sky ain't always
get
falling.
Get your head out the ground. Get your head out your ass sometime, and let's go out here and pull for our team. Give them some damn positive energy.
All right. Speaking of positive energy, Mayor Bowser was feeling positive this morning. She joined the Junkies and was asked kind of what happens next for RFK.
All right, so if it's voted on later this week and it passes, then what exactly is the next step?
The next steps are we will proceed with demolishing the current site. We will proceed with developing our vision, having discussions with the team, community, and our stakeholders. And we will aim to have an agreement with the team.
So this is a big deal, Mayor
Bowser.
It's a
very big deal. Yeah.
What is the time frame where you feel like you could get a commitment from the team?
From Josh Harris.
Well, I always think we should do things yesterday. I think they have a very significant time crunch. They have a lease, and Josh Harris has stated publicly he'd like to be in the stadium by 2030. And in order for all of those things to happen, I think that we have to have an agreement this year.
There you have it. I mean, this year you're running out of space.
Well, let me help the mayor out just a little bit. They will continue demolishing the stadium.
Right.
The stadium has been being demolished from the inside already.
Yeah, dude.
It's been
like
a long
screw
time.
By screw.
So, and the fact that they didn't implode it is just because of the hazardous stuff, which called it asbestos and all that stuff, and that water being so close. So you got to be careful with that. But it has been being torn up already.
B, I just saw something via Unusual Whales on Twitter. So this new Congress budget joint that inevitably people are going to come out against, it's just politics. But they slipped into this thing that members of Congress get a raise from $174,000 to $243,000.
Oh, they voting on this. This thing moving forward. Ain't nobody ain't none of them finna put a gun to their head and say, no, I'm not going to get 70-something more thousand. No, they're not doing that.
Yo, that's
smart as hell.
Now, granted, they haven't gotten a raise since 2009.
Don't make a difference. They finna take that. You think they finna stop that?
I feel like it's such an obvious, I don't know. You're right. Like, who's not signing off on
that?
Man,
come on, dog.
What is that as a percentage? I mean, that's 70 grand, right?
Yeah, you're talking about
a 35, 40% raise?
Probably a little bit. Yeah, very close to that.
And here's my thing with this. These people that become politicians, members of Congress, and senators go on to make gazillions of dollars. Like, you do this as a stepping stone. You could claim there's altruism involved, but you do this to go get rich. Like, or you're already rich, and then you do this. I don't know, man. That one stands out to me, dude. But maybe that's how you get it done, honestly. Landy, was there another Bowser clip, or was that both of them in one? Okay. Go ahead and play it.
Do you envision it being like, because others have suggested, like another Navy yard in that area? Do you have the acreage and the ability to do that?
It's larger than that. And so think about some of the large federal parcels, like the Wharf, mm-hmm. Navy Yard, Walter Reed, St. Elizabeth's. It's larger than that. So the answer is yes. If you're thinking about, are we going to have entertainment, restaurants? We will have more sports uses. We already have ball fields there. We will have a DC Parks and Rec indoor sportsplex there. And we will have a park that connects to the Anacostia River. So like the wharf enliven the Potomac River and really underutilized waterfront, that's what we know that a development at RFK can do in the Anacostia River.
I would just say this.
Don't disagree.
For anyone that has not been down there as of late.
Yeah, it's different.
Go ride down there and go turn left before you go to RFK. Go over there by the parks and see how much room is over there. They can put whatever the hell they want over there. So let's stop saying that there's not enough room. It's way more than enough room.
I'm with you.
Just take a ride down there sometimes.
Listening
to everybody. Go look for yourself.
And I think you're talking about all the parks and stuff. I don't think people realize, like, if you're
the
coming down South Capitol, you're saying all the stuff on the east side. On the west side, on the below you,
yes,
is they got a new Duffy's in there. Like, there's been a ton of stuff built right there where, like, Independence hits 19th or whatever, just before the Armory, just south of the Armory subway stop. Like, there's restaurants. There's a lot of stuff, man. Get out your bubble, people. Get out of the bubble. All right, that's it for us. Grant and Danny coming your way next. Thank you to Neil Greenberg for joining us. Thank you to Ike Reese for joining us. If you made it this far, I owe you beer.